Welcome to Shri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action, bringing fresh perspectives and timeless wisdom for today's shifting paradigm. Now, it is your moment to open your mind, relax into your body and spirit as we explore the greater meaning of your now experience. Bringing wisdom, laughter, and clarity, here are Shri and Kira.
Oh, namaste, beloved ones, and welcome to the voice of passionate action. I am Kira Ra.
And I am Shri Ram Ka, and we are delighted to be with you.
Oh, we are, because this is such an extraordinary moment in our conscious awakening, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Conscious awakening or the status quo, yuck. I mean, where are we going? And here we are in the middle of January 2015 in the early entry into a quite frankly, I know you guys are going to think I'm crazy, beautiful Mercury retrograde.
A beautiful retrograde indeed.
Indeed it is.
Or a fine kettle of fish.
Oh, I don't know, Shri. I don't know how I've ever felt about that expression. I don't know.
It just is one of those slapstick ones.
It is slapstick. Oh, my goodness.
You know, we're at a beautiful time. 2015 has rolled out its energy, and people are ignited. There is a lot going on right now.
There is a lot going on. And remember that we're in this passionate energy of the sacred flame, that we are in this beautiful moment, 2015 through 2022. This is a 7-year ascension rising portal. Very, very powerful. And these first 3 months of 2015 are the preparatory, the final preparatory, because this thing takes off in March. Now, what's so exciting about this now moment right now, and part of why today we're talking about conscious awakening or the status quo, is that today we entered the shadow of the turn. And as we enter the shadow of the turn, meaning the turn of Mercury as it's going to go retrograde on the 21st, we invite you to fully embrace the sacred beauty of January, because when we ignite the beauty of our third chakra, when we ignite that blessing, then the flame of our solar plexus becomes the sacred flame. And we have this opportunity to renew, restore, resurrect. Remember, we're coming up upon that Easter energy the end of March. This is all preparatory. And finally, remember, which is the greatest key to our freedom, is it not?
It is indeed. And it is fun with the RE words, because the Mercury retrograde is an opportunity to review, remember, et cetera.
Absolutely. And reconnect.
Yeah. And the one that is upon us right now, because remember, we have been working through the chakra Vastu energies and the recapitulation that's happening as these energies are foundationalizing the planetary flow right now.
Yes.
And here we are in January, and we're tied in with that energy of fire. And the question is it a divine fire that's transmuting the dross, that which no longer serves, or is it an ignition of competition and the old energies of domination?
Well, you know, Shri, I love that. And especially since we've been talking about that chakra Vastu energy over the past many months. And if you've not connected with that, and I suspect you have if you're listening to our show, but if you've not, just go back into those archives and look at that, or go to our website, Shri and Kira. Read the articles on the rising planetary global chakra Vastu, and the way that we have been experiencing this rise. We had this very powerful opening last summer with the three blood moons that's culminating in March. And remember, we're on this beautiful ascension escalator. That's what we call these 3 months right now. And we'll really begin that beautiful lifting 7-year period. Now, speaking of that, we have been getting flooded. I mean, flooded, especially at our YouTube channel, Official Shri and Kira. We have been getting so many people writing in asking about, hey, what's up with the energy of this time? What's up with what I'm feeling in my physical body? What's going on? You know, I'm having this symptom, that symptom. And we want to remind you that we did produce a video on ascension acceleration energy experiences. And you can find that video either at Official Shri and Kira at our YouTube channel, or I'll tell you a better place to find it is go to our website, shriandkira.com. On the homepage, you'll see the practices tab. Click on that and you'll see it right there in that list. It says Ascension Energy Experiences, and go there. The video's there. The list is there. And drum roll. We need a drum roll, Shri.
Boom.
Later. I like that drum roll. I think that was really good. Later today, or hey, if you're listening to us in the archives, it's already there. We have a new video. It's actually being uploaded to YouTube as we speak. And this video is specifically about the 2015 through 2022 ascension energies and interference and how to navigate that, because we're all in this together, my angels. And it's such a profoundly beautiful time of expansion and expanded energy. And this is why it's important to notice and to pay attention. And as we notice and pay attention, I want you to remember that we are live. So why don't you get in the queue? And remember, you can get in the queue by just giving us the call. Pick up that phone and you can give us a buzz at 888-627-6008. And if it's busy, it just means all the lines are full. And as soon as we take our first caller, you can always call right back in. So remember again, that's 888-627-6008 for your mini soul readings or to jump into this conversation about, hey, conscious awakening or status quo, Sri, where are we?
Well, sometimes the status quo is a necessary rest.
I love that.
And I want to say that with respect and kindness. We tend to live our life through moments of escalation and moments of plateaus.
Yeah.
And the plateau times are times of integration, times of rest. And sometimes they're times of repetition and diversion. Mm-hmm. And this is where the awake consciousness needs to take a look. Because when we find ourselves on a plateau, it's a good question. It's a good time to question, to meaning, to be open to noticing, what is it that I'm gaining from this?
Yeah, yeah.
Or what am I avoiding?
Ooh. Well, you know, Sri, both of those, you know, that really is both sides of the coin. And who are the experts that we invite in? You know, I'm smiling as you and I were putting together these videos and this all this informational education we've been putting out there, that one of the things that we talked about was also the six spiritual essentials. And that's a video that will actually be up at our YouTube channel later this week. And the reason I'm bringing that up again right now is, you know, what we want to really look at is with this vast accessibility of social media, YouTube, the Twitterverse, the Pinterest, Interest-verse, whatever, you know, all you have to do is put in a search term and an expert or a ton of experts will appear. But the question is, you know, who's the real expert in your life?
Who are you going to call?
Oh!
I know. We immediately go to Ghostbusters.
I have to admit I did, but yeah. Maybe that's just our generation. However,
think about it for a moment. Anytime we're in a period where there is a sense of uncertainty,
yeah.
What's happening is that the structure of your ego is beginning to soften.
Mm-hmm.
Uncertainty is only uncertain to the ego self. It's only uncertain to that personality part of you. And there comes a time when our spiritual practices, our ability to breathe into our heart, to relax into our center, helps soften those uncertain feelings so that we can continue on our path.
Well, you know, it kind of goes back to what you were mentioning earlier about the fire. I really want to talk about that because in the ancient Vedic texts, we talk about two types of fire. Now, most of us know Agni, right? Agni, or the word Agni, A-G-N-I, which is that material fire, and that needs fuel. And think about it, the contrast in our life, the matrix of our life, that's the fuel, right? And here we are in January and it's like, okay, who's controlling my life? Who's chucking logs into that fire, right? What are the logs that are going in versus tapa, T-A-P-A, which is the spiritual fire that does not need fuel. Spiritual fire burns eternally. We are that eternal flame. And that's why I think it's been so profound through the Chakra Vastu openings that here we are starting this 2015 through 2022 period in the energy of the flame.
And the
question is, what flame are you working with? And who's, you know, our guest today, our special guest in the second half of the show, Miriam Knight, recently compiled a book and you know, talking about who's wagging the world or who's wagging your world. And I think that really, when we look at the serendipitous moment of the flame and energy of the flame and whether or not you need to stoke it with external or you can illuminate it through your immortality, through your infinity, is stunningly beautiful.
Absolutely, because the flame indeed is a metaphor for transmutation. It's a metaphor for the divine in many, many traditions. And it's important to understand that we are the fuel and the fueler.
Well, are we the tapa or the agna? You know, I mean, that's really the agni. That's really the question.
Absolutely. And as we are in this time of spiritual upliftment, more so than any other time, and I know that sounds a little dramatic, because
I think it should be dramatic. Why not?
Well, there's been, you know, the pendulum has swung many times, and back at the
and
turn of the century before the last century, meaning the 1800s.
Have we lived that long?
1800s.
Oh, 18.
Into,
oh, good.
Yeah, 1800s
okay.
into the 1900s, there was a spiritualist movement. There was a lot of revelation.
Well, the early 1900s, the spiritualist movement was huge. And you know what I liked about it, or what I enjoy reading about, is that it wasn't doubted. It was sadly through the movement that doubts crept in.
Well, true, true. And certainly the Theosophical Society mm-hmm. and Madame Blavatsky and
many others.
And many others were bringing forward energy and information that was truly needed to continue the awakening of humankind.
Yeah.
And also at that time, a new branch of Christianity got started.
Right.
With religious science mm-hmm. and the Unity Church. All of that came out of the late 1800s.
Well, you know, it was a beautiful bubble. It was a moment of extraordinary awakening. And it really does beg the question that we're diving deeper into today, which is, you know, are we consciously awakening, or do we let the powers that be pull strings to keep us connected with the matrix? Because during this time you're talking about, there was a vast awakening on the planet. And a lot of those energies that were put in place they're here today, but you have to look for them. You have to hunt for them.
Well, yeah, it's as if that growth either kind of got covered up and or assimilated.
Now that sounds like the Borg to me. For all you Trekkies out there, that sounds like a Borg moment. You will be assimilated.
And then certainly we had another threshold moment at the turn of this last century.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of awakening that happened in the late 80s and the 90s.
Right.
And brought forward truly an amazing time right at the year 2000, 2001. Right.
Well, there. And I'm giggling because then what happened was you have all these people and so many people talking about 2012. And, you know, we moved down here to Guatemala. We live here outside the energies of a lot of different things. And one of the things that was so powerful was that all of the elders we worked with, all of the beautiful information that came through us, kept sharing with people, this is a beautiful moment, but it's not the moment. This is going to be a profound energy expansion for humanity. However, this is not the moment. And we kept talking about how the real moment was the 7-year window between 2015 to 2022. And I'm kind of pinching myself because here we are, and we're actually finally initiating what everyone thought was coming forward in 2012.
You know, it's a lot easier to understand what's happened when we get some distance from it.
Yeah,
you know, it's easier to predict the past.
Always.
And there was so much momentum and excitement as we all built up to December 21, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly lots of controversy and stories.
Well, and it was also a polarizing point for negativity, too.
It was. And so much of the enthusiasm was actually preparatory.
Yes.
Many people began to awaken to their energetic natures.
Yeah.
Many people began to look at the world differently. Mm-hmm. And this was all preparatory. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which side of the coin you want to look at, the people that were hung up on the mechanical calendar.
You mean the brainiacs?
Maybe
the ones that kind of sit just a little to the right of the left. I don't know.
Versus the ones that were looking at the energetic calendar.
Yeah.
And now what I'm getting at is we sat with an elder of the Maya here in Guatemala and did a fire ceremony, and we began about the 2012 event.
Yeah.
You know, the Bakun, as it was called. And this beautiful man just smiled at us and said, we won't know that we're there until we can feel it.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the mechanical tick-tock of a calendar.
At all. And this is the head of the Maya, my love. We were so blessed to be with this beautiful, beautiful being.
And then he went on to say, there are many that say it's coming at this time. However, based upon what we're feeling at this time, we're not yet there.
Right.
And when we are there, we will know it.
Right.
And I liked that very practical wisdom of, you know, we'll know it when we're there. And until then, let's use our energy to live this life in this now.
Well, and you know, there's so much more that he shared with us. And he has now since transitioned and has given us permission and so many beautiful things that we've been sharing over the years and more to come. And the blessing is that what I see, Sri, and what we're so beautifully blessed to be living in is this integration of the heart as the foundation of the escalator. Meaning that, you know, for millennia, most beings, most traditions say, come to the heart. And the answer is, yeah, for sure, get to the heart. However, once you get there, then what? Where do we go? And the gift is we're going, we're there. It becomes our foundation, our center of the ascended energy, of the ascended presence. Because until we can anchor that in a balanced way, we cannot lift.
Absolutely. And you know, the whole thing of get to the heart is truly the gateway for both an ascended life in this plane, meaning this earth plane, a life of service, a life of love, a life of harmony here on earth. And it is the foundation for the true energy of self-ascension, the ability to lift through the dimensions. And what that means is that you are at peace. It's the heart of unconditional peace.
I love that.
And so as you start, beloved listeners, thinking a little bit about the heart and what does it mean, what does love really mean? Of course, on one level, love is compassion and noticing the needs of others. However, at a deeper level, love is truly the non-resistance, the unconditional acceptance that allows us to embrace all that is.
With our spiritual discernment intact. See, that's the beauty of it, is that so many people are like, oh, they're such a beautiful being, such a heart-centered being, yet why do bad things always happen to them? Or why can they never get ahead? Or why is this? Or why is that? Well, that's because a lot of us, through the spiritual journey, open up our hearts so much, it becomes a dumping ground for all others. Versus when we are in the empowered spiritual discernment of our heart-centered energy, we become our own ignition. You know, it's going back to the tapa fire or the agni fire. The tapa fire burns bright within, and it's an eternal flame that cannot be extinguished. It's the flame without end. It's the flame without end, without beginning. It's the eternal. Yet somewhere along the line, we forget that. We forget that we're the eternal flame.
And I'm smiling because of the joy and wonder of a sacred fire.
Absolutely.
How many of you have sat around a campfire as a child and felt some sort of mystical, wondrous rapport? And then that evolves into the fire of the indigenous. Mm-hmm. And from whether it's the Native American traditions or the fire ceremonies of the indigenous South of North America, there is a sacredness to the fire.
Well, and go ahead.
When we were in India.
Yes.
I'm just dancing with these
yes, you are.
Memories. They would do fires in be chanting around the fire, and then they pour in sacred oils and milk and honey and offerings.
And this is why, and it's so important, especially as we're transiting into this beautiful, this is a beautiful Mercury retrograde, my angels. Fear has no issue in this one, because remember, this Mercury retrograde is going to be bringing you into the next energy of the heart. And as the chakra Vastu energy is rising on the planet, February is going to be all about that. We're lifting up into that next energy. So ask yourself this: is the fire of my spiritual tenacity something that cannot be extinguished? Or does it constantly need fuel to burn? And really, that's where it comes down to. Are you aligning with Tapa, or are you aligning with the Agni? Because when we align with the Agni, and I'm giggling about the fire, why has the fire become so representative everywhere? There isn't anywhere you go. There isn't any tradition that at some point does not have some form of fire. It's all there. It's in every single one. And when you look at the ancient original Vedic scriptures, which are the oldest scriptures on the planet, the fire they talk about is the distinguishing between the eternal and the material. And this is where we've come full circle. Humanity is at a moment of extraordinary ascension. 2015 through 2022, a very powerful 7-year period. And angels, you made it. You're here. And so as you are here, maybe, Sri, we should invite in a caller.
Absolutely. One of the things that we enjoy doing is connecting with you.
Absolutely.
And you can ring us here on the show, or you can send us an email, and that email is simply guest@shriankiraradio.com. Mm-hmm. It's G-U-E-S-T. And we have a caller from San Francisco on line two.
All right.
Welcome, Sonia, to
Namaste,
the show.
Namaste, Sonia. Welcome.
Namaste. Hello. Namaste. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I just had I wanted a mini reading, and I wanted to also add in, with all the stuff that's going on globally right now in Paris, and I just noticed so much hatred online and so much putting down religions, you know, just constant back and forth. And it hurts me so much to see so much violence and so much hatred that's pinned on certain individuals, you know, mass people because of what certain individuals decide to do. Right now, they've made it so it's like Islam is the worst religion. It's so, so bad. That's all I see, and it really hurts me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Sonia, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I want you to, first of all, I'm really grateful for you to bring this up, because it's part of what had to happen in January. Remember, this month is all about the third chakra. Who has dominion over the power? Where is the balance of power? What is the fire that is literally burning? And obviously, what you're describing right now, what we all are looking and witnessing on our planet right now, and this is something we had talked about in early December when we were predicting the revelations for January, was that pay attention, and especially right around mid-month, you know, the middle of the balance of the power, what's trying to grab our attention. And so when we start feeling really poorly around what's grabbing our attention, what's happening is that we find ourselves outside of the energy of our own balance. And yes, we never have to agree with what's happening. However, we need to allow ourselves, as part of the ascension energy, to go into a great wide angle lens on this. And if you go into a great wide angle lens on this, it's forcing people to wake up. It's forcing people to no longer be complacent. It's forcing people to stop sitting on the sidelines and to claim their own empowerment. Otherwise, the voices of hatred, the voices of negativity, the voices of the mass media are going to have a greater presence. And so it's wonderful that people like yourself are saying, hey, this is creating a sense of not feeling well inside of me, and I'm ready for a balanced energy, and I'm ready to stand for that greater sense of spaciousness on the planet.
And just to speak to that generally, whatever ignites us is good for us. Sometimes we get ignited through pain. Sometimes we get ignited through being judgmental, and then we recognize, wait a minute, and we grow through the judgment.
Right.
And so it's important to just recognize, my heart is opening. And that's the bottom line. That's what you opened the conversation with. My heart hurts.
Yeah.
Be with that.
Yeah. And you know, I love this conversation. And one of the things that's important to remember about this conversation is that as we are going through this, the sooner humanity gets it, the sooner this will stop. You know, sadly, look at our own lives. How many times do we repeat things over and over again? Even if we don't like them, they just keep coming back. And we keep saying, why am I in this cycle? Why does this keep coming back? The greater lesson for humanity right now is, if we really want the terrorism to stop, if we really want to move forward, then we need to harvest the lessons now and thereby lessen the energy. Remember that We've coined the phrase passionate action, because passionate action is the action that says, I'm harnessing the gift and ready to move forward, versus activism, which says, I'm actually Agni fire. Activism is actually throwing logs into the fire.
It's in opposition to something.
Exactly. Right. So the more we react, the worse we get. So this is a great topic.
Yeah, and I think the greater thing that I think of is, we're all spiritual beings. Why are we being labeled and, you know, just pointed as far as religions? Because I believe in every religion, you know. Mm-hmm. I think there's goodness in everything. If this was, you know, spread globally, which I hope one day everyone can understand, that we're all the same.
Yes, indeed. We are all children of the one universe. There is no doubt about that. And so I want to invite you to bring your hand to your heart and to take a deep, beautiful breath. And if it's safe to close your eyes, I want to invite you to do that as well. And just as you, I want you to take in another breath. They're saying breathe again. So I want you to take in another breath. Let those shoulders relax. Let yourself relax. And give yourself the gift right now of feeling the beings that are around you. Because it's no accident that you called in today and that we were able to have this time with you today. Because the beings that are around you right now, it's really quite amazing. It's like seeing all the colors of the rainbow incarnate as these ascended masters. Each one in front of you is in a different color. And they're all standing around you right now. And what they're saying is that you are in the middle of an attunement. And they keep talking, they keep saying 14. And in your case, that means February 14th, the physical day is going to be a very powerful day for you. They're also saying the 1 + 4 = 5, which we know is the beautiful five-pointed star, the Matronian star, that you are being attuned right now and that everything you're experiencing and everything that you're noticing is part of that attunement. And they're saying, remember to lift. And they're telling you to hold up your hands. And I'm doing it right now. I actually have them up over my head. They're saying, lift your hands up over your head, wiggle your fingers and feel us. And each one of these beings is grabbing a finger. You have 10 different beings holding a finger and they're saying, feel that energy, feel our energy, feel your energy lifting up and our energy flooding in, feel your form dissolve once more and attune to the energy of the frequency around thee, for it will carry you through. You've got an incredible month ahead of you. It's like a month of discovery. So I want to hear from you in February. And thank you so much for joining us today, Sonia. Many blessings, Angel.
Thank
Namaste.
You so much. Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste, Angel.
Oh, many blessings indeed.
Ooh, I'm still feeling her. Feeling that. Wow.
If you didn't do that, I invite you to lift your hands over your head and just feel the touch.
Were you doing that? My eyes were closed. Were you doing that too?
I was doing it too.
Yeah, wow, it was awesome.
And we certainly call in that connection. Beloved listeners, we're going to have a station break. And when we come back, we'll be inviting in our wonderful guest who is indeed a special person. I'm going to tell you all about her when we come back.
Woo, woo, woo.
But for right now, take a deep breath. Stay with us. There's a lot more to come.
Welcome to the Self Ascension Classroom, affordable and beautiful home study for your mystical journey. Imagine the gift of studying everything that you've ever wanted at home and on your time. Yes, it is possible, and there is so much to choose from as you dive into your home study experience. Remember that with every moment you spend studying this gift, you ignite your divinity. Imagine the mysteries of the Toheel and the crystalline clarity and radiant abundance of Avesa, a mastery balancing technique and certification process, and then cosmic life regression. Travel the universe and remember, allow yourself the gift of navigating the inner matrix. This beautiful Ascended Mastery program of the Violet Flame will take you to places you may not have dared to dream to go, and then you will rediscover the true gift of your divine nature. Yes, the time is now to study the ancient mysteries, and it's so easy to begin. Discover the Self-Ascension Classroom only at SriAndKira.com. That's SriAndKira.com. Namaste. Namaste, beloved one. This is Kira Ra, and I am inviting you to take a journey of the soul in the land of the heart. Imagine your life free from chaos and filled with creative clarity. Imagine waking up each day in your private lakefront casita, greeted by brilliant sun, flowers, and birds. It is here that you will effortlessly resurrect your divine blueprint in pristine energy. Yes, I am inviting you to join us for a personal resurrection vacation retreat at beautiful Lake Atitlan, Guatemala. Here, you can rejuvenate your life as you indulge in Tosa spa cuisine, private healing sessions, yoga, tai chi, meditation, and loving support. Imagine enjoying pure air, zero noise pollution, and endless stars in this ascended nirvana. The time is now to claim your true joy. Learn more by visiting SriAndKira.com and just click on the Resurrection Vacation Treat page. Tosa La Laguna, healing lives, healing hearts. We welcome you home.
The path of self-ascension is a conscious decision that brings your life experience into alignment with soul consciousness, the rare gift of an active approach to living in the heart and manifesting the present moment. Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra invite you to visit Self-Ascension Magazine, a free online self-ascension hub that lifts your spirits and frees your heart to soar. On the Self-Ascension Magazine website, you can read Sri and Kira's perspectives on what's happening today. Discover a daily meditation and weekly practice. Watch special video and audio clips. Follow Kira Ra's messages from the Archangelic Realm and learn about upcoming events or courses. Relax and enjoy a visit to Self-Ascension Magazine online at www.shriandkira.com. Explore, participate, and unfold this rare treat for yourself. Remember, that's shriandkira.com.
Welcome back. We are glad to be with you now.
We really are. You know, we've been having such an exploratory show today about conscious awakening or the status quo. And I can't think of anything more beautiful than bringing in our amazing, we had lined up such an amazing woman to join this conversation today.
You know, one of the things that I know has been near and dear for my personal path is the ability to look at everything.
Yeah.
To be a bit of a dilettante at first and then to focus in after having really taken in the lay of the land, so
right,
to speak.
Yeah.
And our guest today is Miriam Knight, who is a who was a business executive who made a midlife shift into the spiritual
Woo-hoo!
Path. And this woman has lived on several continents of the world, speaks several languages.
I love it.
Well-educated and kind of settled into the field of psychology. And
She sounds like you, Sri.
Well, in some regards, yeah. And Miriam is publishing a holistic journal, or actually she has for many years, and she now has founded an online magazine mm-hmm. in the field of consciousness and awakening called the New Consciousness Review.
You guys have to check this out. It's awesome.
Now, if you go to Amazon.com, you're going to find her latest book there, both in Kindle and in print version, and it's called What Wags the World.
I love that title. I just love that title.
Tales of Conscious Awakening. And so, Miriam, we want to welcome you to the show, and you can fill in the bio for us here live.
Well, yeah, and namaste, Miriam. Welcome.
Namaste, Sri and Kira. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, it's our joy. Now, I have to jump right in, Miriam. You know, Sri was talking about, you know, the shift. So one thing that immediately hits me is, what happened? What was the trigger for you? What was that moment that said, this is it, I'm diving in?
Out of business into the metaphysical.
Right.
Well, it was actually a trigger that happened to my husband first. And a good friend of ours killed himself and then started trying to contact his son through my husband.
Wow.
And it kind of had the effect of blowing him open psychically, and he started seeing things about people. So, you know, first you go through the denial, then you go through the am I going crazy part.
Right.
But, you know, since we were living together, I knew that he was sane. So we started reading everything we could about psychic phenomenon and meeting up with people in this world, and it just opened up a whole new world that suddenly started to make sense to us. And so we both left our professions and became healers of one sort or another. And shortly thereafter, we moved to the States, to lovely Portland, Oregon, and really found our niche, found our people.
So you were living in England before this?
Yes, uh-huh.
So this happened, and then what drew you to Portland? I mean, that's a big leap that says, okay, I mean, you've lived in so many beautiful areas around the world, but what brought you to Portland in that moment? What said, okay, we're both going to become healers, we're both going to shift what we're doing, and now we're going to go, you know, pick a dot on the map. What was that dot about for you?
We actually had a friend who invited us to visit Portland, and we had introduced him to Lee Carroll's work as a channel for Kryon. And Kryon was speaking here, so we came to coincide with one of his lectures. And we met this amazing group of open souls and spirits mm-hmm. and healers. So we decided that we were going to open a healing center. Of course, by the time we sold our house in England and got here, that kind of dissipated. But we've never regretted it. So we set up mm-hmm. our own practices.
Now, how long ago was that?
That was about 15 years ago.
Okay. Boy, you know, I just love how time flies so quickly. You know, it really does. So this was almost right around the millennium time.
It was just before the millennium. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Now, you know who else was in Oregon just before the millennium? Actually, about 10 years before. This is a trick question.
Okay, because I'm looking at you going, what?
I actually worked in the Portland area for a while, and at the time I was there, the Rajneesh was in Oregon.
Mm.
And he really made some waves because he brought a whole spiritual community to Central Oregon, and the followers of he was called Rajneesh then, is now Osho,
right.
Opened restaurants in Portland and began to offer vegetarian food and kind of an enlightened environment. And I think there was a whole movement of consciousness that began to ignite. And he was just one piece of that fire.
Well, I love how you're sharing that, because as I'm listening to your story, Miriam, and as I listen to what happened with your husband and how the two of you really, really saw this and said yes, was there ever a moment inside either one of you where you doubted or you were concerned, or was it just a yes from day one?
Oh, no, it was always second-guessing and questioning. I think that's the biggest challenge of people, is learning to trust themselves and learning to trust what they're experiencing. That's one of the reasons behind the book, What Wags the World. Because so many people have had these anomalous experiences that they can't quite pigeonhole. And mm-hmm. they know something is happening, but they don't have a context for it. So by selecting this group of 37 really, really solid individuals, I mean, we have college professors, medical doctors, CEOs of multinational corporations, military officers. These are people with their feet on the ground who have had these experiences and finally decided, okay, this is real. I have to tell the world about it. And it takes mm-hmm. an incredible amount of courage to come out, you know, and brave the sort of ridicule of your colleagues and really make a shift and turn onto a new path, the spiritual path.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. It's courageous. And you know, I think about even you and your husband, you know, coming across the ocean. It's a courageous act. And when you talk about your book, What Wags the World, love the title. What was your inspiration to put the book together? Was it through your own life journey? What inspired you to do this?
Well, these are all people that I had. First, I reviewed their books. Then I had invited them on my radio show to interview them. So I got to know their stories. And to tell you the truth, I also am somewhat, I developed my own intuition, and I got a distinct message from the people upstairs that this is a book whose time has come.
Yeah. Well, for sure it has, because certainly reassurance is what people look for more than anything, especially when you're first waking up. You really need to have the availability.
Well, I know in my case, and I don't think I'm alone, when these things, these phenomenon start to intrude upon one's waking consciousness, there's a moment where we doubt our sanity, where we're looking for a context, as you said, to make meaning out of this. And to have a reference, to have a book of people who were in traditional respected walks of life who are saying, hey, there is more.
You're not crazy. We're not all wacko.
Well, that's truly a gift of service, not only on their part to speak out, but on your part to offer this anthology, if that's the correct word for it, to offer your book, which weaves together these stories.
That's exactly the purpose behind it. And thank you so much for acknowledging that.
Well, you're very welcome, and we do want to thank you for being willing to put the book out. Now, I noticed when I went to Amazon that you have another book there.
That book is a compilation of interviews that I'd done over the years with very interesting people. And I actually have another book in preparation. You know how they say you went to the bookstore and a book fell off at your feet?
Yes.
Well, I was cleaning up my shelves for the new year, and a book fell at my feet, and it was actually a book that a notebook, hardbound notebook that I had been writing in years ago, and when I started reading it, I thought, my gosh, did I write that? And obviously, I didn't. But the messages there just need to get out as well. So I think some of the themes in the book kind of coalesce. And if there's one message that I want to get out to the listeners, it's that we all have the ability to connect directly to Source. It's a question of how we do it, in what direction, in what modality. You know, some of us will hear, see, write, whatever. But learn to develop that. Go into the silence. Open yourself up, because that is the most precious connection you can have to your higher self, to the universe. And that is what is going to help us navigate these very complex times.
You know, that's such a good point. And one of the questions I would ask you is, what would you say to people, because we get this question a lot, and I'd love to hear how you would respond. What do you say to people who say, I'm not sure if I can trust the message I'm hearing? How do I know if this is real? What would you offer?
You know, there are ways to test it. Say, okay, I don't know if this is real. Please, you know, give me a sign. Absolutely. And you can be very explicit about the sign, kind of sign that you want.
Well, yeah, obviously, whatever confirmation you're asking for has to be within the realm of what you are willing to accept.
Right.
I found you can't be too demanding. Meaning, give me a sign like I want the title to a red Porsche. That's not quite the sign that I found the universe likes.
So you know, so it brings me, Miriam, back to your book, What Wags the World, which is, what did you see as the common thread? You know, you have these, I think you said it was 37 people, all this compilation of stories. And I know Sri and I recently did we've done many interviews about our own story as well. What was your common thread as you put together this book? Was there a common thread that you saw amongst all these people?
There were definitely common themes. One was that the universe is really made of love, that we are loved, we are never alone. No matter how lonely we feel, it's just that we've lost our connection. If we reestablish that connection to all that is, we will get that inpouring of love. Three, the way to get that connection is to go into the silence. Develop a practice of walking in nature, of meditation, of just tuning the busyness of the world out and taking that time to restore yourself, restore your connection.
And so did everyone that you interviewed have to literally, like, take a time out? Did this happen through their daily lives? Was it varied? What did you notice?
There were as many ways to achieve that as there are people in the world.
There you go.
One of my favorite quotes from Gandhi.
Yeah. And this is why, and you mentioned this earlier, and I want to underscore it. This is why self-trust is so important.
Oh, absolutely.
Because each and every one of us is a refraction of the oneness, and each and every one of us has our individuated path. And as we return to oneness, as we return to our spiritual awareness, we have to trust that we're unwinding our uniqueness back into the universality.
Uh-huh.
That we are indeed in the right place at the right time.
Well, you know, that's exactly where I wanted to go, because talking about the right place at the right time, you and your husband had this opening, through a very profound opening. The two of you, about 15 years ago, moved to the Portland area. And I love that the subtitle in your book is Tales of Conscious Awakening. Sri and I, over the past many years, moved here down to Central America. People are moving. People are being called. And as they're being called, what I'm noticing, what we're noticing, is that there are these beautiful resurrecting energies of conscious awakening. And so I'm curious, in just the past 15 years in the Portland area, have you noticed a shift in the conscious awakening around you?
I certainly have. It reflects itself in absolutely every area of human endeavor. So conscious awakening can simply be political activism. It can be shifting to buying organic food. It can be taking control of your own health and turning to natural medicine. It can be tuning into your own sense of creation and following your passion, following your muse. We're creator beings. If we're not creating something good in the world, something beautiful in the world, we are shriveling, we're contracting. So, you know, it's a time for a blossoming, a time for coming together, a time for community. It's all the things that I heard you talking about in the first half of the show.
Well, indeed. And it's also important that we figure out how to reassure ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of distraction out there. And like our caller who said that her heart was hurting
yeah.
what happened in France. You know, it's funny how something will touch us. Some people are going to be touched very deeply by that. Others aren't.
Well, go ahead, Sri, because one of the things I was going to share is that I enjoy, Miriam, where you're illuminating that, you know, it can be a return to natural medicine or it can be just starting to eat better. What I'm enjoying about what you're sharing is that it's such a beautiful gift for each of us to recognize that one small step is all it takes. You know, so often we tend to beat ourselves up and say, I haven't done enough or I should be, could be doing more. When the reality is with every step one being takes, it unifies with the step another being takes. And together, we can have this greater conscious awakening.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. So it brings me to the question of, tell us about the New Consciousness Review. Now, this is your online magazine. And guys, you can find this at simply ncreview.com, really simply ncreview.com. Why did you found this? What's the purpose of it? What are you learning through doing this process?
It really follows on from what I just said. There are so many different ways to conscious awakening and so many different messengers out there, people like you, thousands and thousands. And the books and the films that are coming out are just expanding exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to create a vehicle. I had published a paper magazine, but for 7 years, but that really gets tired, struggling with killing trees and getting the distribution out there. So
sure.
I went online only with New Consciousness Review, and I wanted to get a forum for the messengers of the new consciousness. And as I said, they can be in metaphysics, they can be in spirituality, they can be in social and political activism, they can be sustainability, taking control of your health. All of these are different aspects of waking up, thinking for yourself, being discerning in the news that's coming through your eyes and ears, and knowing that you are not alone in what you're thinking, what you're feeling. There's a vast and growing community out there who want to change the world, and we can only change it with our own little actions, in our own little spheres, day by day. But as you so beautifully said, Kira, the cumulative effect is going to be a world shift.
Yeah, very true. And we truly respect your intention and your creation here.
So right.
The New Consciousness Review as an online publication gives you the opportunity then to weave the printed word with video and photos and things that are kind of tough to do in a print format.
Well, and unlike a print format, this has global reach, which is what I just enjoy so much about what you've created, is that, you know, we are more and more, the more we remember that we are all children of the same universe, the more that we can expand and love and appreciate each other and let go of these illusionary boundaries. And so I'm just really enjoying that you've brought this gift to the web. And again, for everybody, that's ncreview.com. Plus, you know, I want to remind all of you, check out Miriam's book, What Wags the World? Tales of Conscious Awakening, at amazon.com. You can get it both in Kindle or good old fashioned. I like books. I have to admit, I really like holding a book. I have to admit it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I have a Kindle.
What do you say to that, Miriam?
I'm with you, Kira.
You got your highlighter and your pen.
I do.
And you start having
and
conversations.
Dog ear the pages. Yeah.
You know, there's something about touching a book for me. Call me old fashioned, but I mean, I love my Kindle, but I love my books more. Must admit it.
So as we come to a close for today, Miriam, I just want to underscore for our listeners, ncreview.com. And I want to invite you, if you have any closing comments, a little message for the world that you'd like to leave with them in their awareness, now's your moment.
Well, be kind, be compassionate, and most of all, love yourself and trust yourself.
So beautifully said. Beautifully said, and with so much beautiful energy. We really appreciate that.
So our guest today has been Miriam Knight. Her book, the latest book, What Wags the World, Tales of Conscious Awakening. You can find it at Amazon and other places. And be sure to visit ncreview.com to learn more. And thank you, Miriam. It's
a joy to have you on the show. Thank you so much. You know, and to all of our listeners right now, remember that we're in a powerful moment of conscious awakening on a global universal basis, that your passion for your life, your gift is to keep saying yes, even when everything is screaming no. Keep saying yes to your journey. Keep saying yes to your pathway, because you are loved. You are supported.
And saying yes does not mean losing one's discernment.
Absolutely not.
You know, what we're asking you or suggesting that you say yes to is the truth that you recognize that maybe you discarded. It's the truth of the dismissible voice that comes up from your heart. It's the truth of the beauty in the outer world, mm-hmm. whether it's a flower or a sky. As we say yes to those signals, we're reassuring all aspects of ourselves that we are on a beautiful path.
You know, indeed we are. And as we are in this beautiful resurrection energy of this powerful Mercury retrograde coming in, we're already in the shadow, coming in on the 21st this week and carrying us through to the month of the heart in February. Remember, it's your time to renew. It's your time to reconnect. It's your time to resurrect. And it's your time to remember.
And as you do that, please take a look at SriandKira.com, because there are a couple of powerful gatherings coming up in March.
Yes.
And in order to attend those, one needs to kind of feel the call a little ahead of time to make the plan.
Well, and we're almost sold out. We were sold out. We actually were able to open up a few more spots. So go check that out.
Because in March, which is in truly the anchor point of this escalator to expansion, we are hosting some profound workshops in Antigua, Guatemala, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, a beautiful cobblestone town with tile roofs and beautiful smells and colors. And the ascension energy is unmolested.
Indeed. And so, beloved angels, may your heart be filled with love. May your heart be filled with conscious awakening. And if fear tries to creep in, if the world around you during the intensity of this balance of power month comes in, remember, it is all an illusion. And the minute you are able to be free of the illusion will no longer have power on you.
And as we have the joy of saying namaste to you today, and we'll see you next week, may you know that all is truly well.
Thank you for joining us at Sri and Kira Live. To have your questions answered, send us an email to guest@SriandKiraRadio.com and check out more information at SriandKira.com. See you next week. Namaste.